Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to A Time for Justice. A Time for Justice is a show on the Elevated Places Network, and I am your host, Sister Pamela Muhammad. I am an attorney, and I would like to welcome you all to this show. Thank you for calling in. On this show, we discuss legal and current events in a round table discussion of legal minds. We discuss this country's centuries-long failures to apply, uphold, and enforce the laws, and the overall failure of the legal system to give justice, and the negative impact these failures have had on Black people and their Black families. Ultimately, we want justice. We want fair dealing. We want justice under the law. But all too often, this is not the actions that we see. So our guest tonight will not make those excuses for the racist conduct often seen, which are really just distractions from the truth, which is the path to justice and equal protection. So let's talk about just, fair, and equitable solutions, which are in the best interest of the people. And tonight's show, we're going to talk about a solution, and it's one of my favorite solutions, which is music and entertainment and the importance of music and entertainment to the Black community. The name of this show is The Power of Conscious Music and Entertainment Law and Business, and this is a wonderful show. We have some awesome, beautiful guest tonight. I'm so thankful and just really humbled that we have a sister that many of you all know by the name of Sister Akila Nahanda. And Sister Akila Nahanda is an artist, and she is an entertainer, and she is an activist and a speaker, and she's someone that I've known for a very long time. So let me just read a little bit about Sister Akila Nahanda. Sister Akila is a believer, a wife, mother, music artist, and filmmaker. And when we say believer, that means she's a member of the Nation of Islam. Sister Akila is a Howard University graduate and a world traveler. She has performed all over the country, spreading the message of that it's fabulous to be a covered girl. Her latest performance was in Orlando, Florida, at Dr. Boyce Watkins' All-Black National Convention, where she was also on a panel about the weaponization of hip-hop. Wow. Sister Akila has recently received millions of views. So she says she's recently hit millions of views on a social media platform by posting weekly freestyles about current events. She also has a comedic cartoon on YouTube called Keisha's Changing that documents a young girl growing into consciousness and all that entails. So let me go ahead and open up Sister Akila's mic. I know people have come to hear our band. I'm so excited. Sister Akilah?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sister Akilah. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you
yes,
for
ma'am.
Having me.
Thank you for taking your time to join us tonight on the Time for Justice. And so the next person I want to go ahead and we've got two attorneys. I'm going to bring up the sister, and our sister is Tiffany Muhammad. So Tiffany has been a contributor on the show before, but Sister Tiffany is a Los Angeles-based immigration attorney and entrepreneur. She also does consulting in sports and entertainment law. Sister Tiffany has a home health company, and she's such an all-around beautiful sister and attorney. So I'm going to go ahead and open up Sister Tiffany's mic. Give her the greetings. Assalamu alaikum, Sister
alaikum.
Tiffany.
Wa alaikum.
Salam,
Attorney Pamela. How are you?
I am fine. Thank Allah. Yes, ma'am. All praises are due to Allah. Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
so,
ma'am. Thank you.
The next. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You are so welcome, sister. And so the next person I want to open his mic, and he is also a first-timer to our show, and I am so excited. Our brother is Brother Colin Muhammad, and Brother Colin Muhammad is an attorney. Brother Colin graduated from New York Law School in 1994, and he actually worked on Wall Street for 33 years. Brother Colin is the co-founder of a music production company, and he is a member of the Black Entertainment and Sports Lawyers Association, that's known as BESLA. Brother Colin has been a guest speaker at colleges on the business of entertainment. So we are so fortunate to have Brother Colin here. Let me open up Brother Colin's mic. Brother Colin.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Colin. Welcome, welcome, welcome to A Time for Justice.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for coming. We are just so blessed and honored to have you on the show, my brother. So as we said, tonight's topic is the power of conscious music and entertainment law. Wait, the power of conscious music and entertainment. And then we put a comma and say law and business, because we as lawyers, we do know that it is the business of music. You know, law is all up in the music. So we wanted to talk about that, but we are so blessed to have a sister here who is an artist. And so we, in the backdrop of speaking on consciousness, I wanted to just read a couple of small things. One of an article from our sister, Anissa Muhammad, she talks about what is conscious music. She said, we need to listen to conscious music. What is conscious music? The word conscious, according to the dictionary, means to be aware of one's own existence, sensation, thoughts, or surroundings. So conscious music must be that which enlightens one about the world around them. That's very important. She said, it must be music that causes one to be aware of what's going on and causes one to really think. Conscious music is music with a positive informational message behind it. And the other thing I wanted to read was from Mother Tynetta Muhammad. And Mother Tynetta's article is rap. It's about hip-hop and rap and the Holy Quran. It's a dialogue she did with Russell Simmons. And what she said was, she said, we are mobilized by God's spirit to arise and call our people to a higher spiritual state of consciousness that we have inherited from our mothers and our grandmothers, from our fathers and our foreparents, to orally transmit the hip-hop language into a refined culture of peace, resonating love, prosperity, and happiness. So after listening to those definitions, I'll ask the panelists, do you all feel like there's a need for more conscious music? Is conscious music powerful? Let's just kind of open it up and, you know, introduce ourselves and anyone want to chime in on that?
Is conscious music
Go ahead, Sister Akilah.
Is there a need for more conscious music, Sister Akilah, and just kind of what are your thoughts on the conscious, you know, music, you know, that we heard in those definitions?
I mean, according to that definition, that's the only music we should be listening to.
Yes,
you know, music that has us awake and music that fosters love and peace and all of that progressive, all of those progressive words, it sounds like we should only be listening to conscious music. Anything else sounds like it would be going against, you know, what it is that we are striving for. And I am Sister Akilah Nihanda. I am an artist, and I strive to make sure that my music has messages. But, you know, I strive to make sure that it's, you know, catchy, good beats and all of that, because this world has changed the word conscious. You know, when you say, oh, this is a conscious rap, this world has flipped it and made it unappealing. So now when you say conscious rap, you know, younger people think, oh, that's some old school rap, or that's some boring stuff, or it's outdated. And so this world does what it always does, and it makes the good seem bad and it makes the bad seem good. So unfortunately, that word conscious music has become almost like a stigma. And so people like me, unfortunately, we no longer use that word a lot, only because of the stigma that has started to come with it. Even consciousness in general, you know, they're making fun of people who are conscious by saying, you know, the hoteps and the, you know, and so there's memes and this world is trying to make consciousness seem like a joke because, you know, there are some people who are conscious who don't live the life but speak consciousness, so it gives us, you know, a bad rep. But, yeah, that's all I have to say on that. But, yeah, that word, the actual definition, though, is what we should be going for.
Yes, ma'am. That's beautiful. Thank you so much. Sister Tiffany Muhammad, Attorney Muhammad.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Such beautiful words. And going from what you read from Mother Tanetta Muhammad, I think you used the word, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that it mobilizes, what was it, Sister Pam, the words of Mother, if you're looking at it?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, Sister Tiffany. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm going to have to pull it back.
Okay, yes, ma'am. So, yeah, so what I was also wanted to add to the whole conscious music or entertainment, arts and culture in general, it just plays an important role in our society, and it just has a huge impact on people, you know, in a society. So, of course, conscious versus unconscious, as Sister Akilah pointed out, it's only that we should, you know, intentionally and be intentional to listen to music that will mobilize us and to make us better. That's what I was thinking.
Yes, ma'am. So, Brother Colin, I'm going to pull you in because, as you state, you've been in music production, I believe, is one of the things you do. So you've seen the evolution as to where we are now. And so talk to us about what's your definition. How have you seen this conscious mentality, I guess, evolve over time?
Thank you, sis. That's a very big question, right?
Okay.
When I was growing up, I'm a child of the 70s, so we've always had conscious music. We will have Marvin Gaye. We will have Gambling Huff, you know, Power to the People, Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, Earth, Wind, and Fire. And we never called it conscious music. It was called it music, you know. When did this term conscious music come up, and who labeled music conscious music? You know, the definition of that. Who defined it and then categorized what is conscious music? I'm not sure black people did that, right? And so now we're going by a term that wasn't defined by us, right? You know, Duke Ellington once said there's only two kinds of music, good music and bad music, right? We've gone from that now to conscious music, to violent music, to all types of things, right? And, you know, music, as Sister Tynetta said, as she talked about, it should be galvanizing the people, you know, moving the people in a certain way. Well, that's always been music. Music, good music hits your soul a certain way, right? And it had that saying, music calms the savage beast. Well, if we look now at black music in particular, and in these labels, before we had black labels, we had Motown, we had Philly International, you know, we had black labels, and then inside the major labels, we had black divisions, or divisions that were responsible for black music. Today, I don't think you could find a major label with a black division, and those in charge of black music do not look like us. You could go into a room full of people deciding what goes on the album and what album comes out and what artist gets signed, and they don't look like us. So we wonder why there's a disconnect between the music and the consciousness of our people, then that should say it all right there. The devil is in charge, right? And so you know, I think they studied the history. And they saw what music can do, and what music can do in a movement. When music is tied to a movement, like the civil rights movement, music was tied to that. When you can tie music to a movement and the millions of people that can hear a message through a song, they know that can be weaponized and can be dangerous against white supremacy. So it is a planned, it's an organized, planned an attack by the enemy on why they label things conscious music and other kinds of music. You know, I think we need to get back to just music and redefine what's good music and what's bad music. And everything else will fall under that umbrella.
Yes, sir. And so, Sister Tiffany, I think the statement again was we are being mobilized by God's Spirit to rise and call our people to a higher spiritual state of consciousness. And so that's where that came. But then I think the Ministry of Arts and Culture, as we talk about defying it, the Ministry of Arts and Culture, I got this off of the NOI website. It said that it is the promotion of aesthetic, meaning beautiful, artistic, and cultural expression in a way that facilitates mental, emotional, and moral upliftment of the members of the society. So I think that's, you know, pretty much what we're saying, emotional, mental, moral upliftment. And so going back to something you said, Brother Colin, how does the impact of black people around black professionals, black, you know, lawyers, black managers, black advisors, how can that impact you know, with the consciousness or with the ability to just make good music? Do you see a correlation?
Oh, wow. Of course. I think, you know, and I can see it from, you know, because I've represented artists and I've represented producers and so forth. And when you're talking about the creative process of an artist and a producer, who is the artist? What they're trying to do is they're trying to create the best music possible. But the person who is dictating what they want and what they need, as opposed to what the artist is writing and is willing to put out, there becomes a struggle oftentimes, right? Well, we don't want that. Well, you got to change that word. That's too clean. Nobody's going to listen to that. Nobody's going to buy that. We want more sex. We want more hardness. When you have people who look like you and who grew up in your cultural environment, then they can understand, or, you know, we know what life is in this community, and we know what certain things represent. We don't want to put that forth. So if you have black lawyers, you have black managers, you have black music or business consultants, who will take up that battle with the label and leave the artist to be creative, then that's something that is definitely necessary. if you hire, and I'm not saying there's no good white lawyers, there are excellent white lawyers and managers, I'm sure. But are they going to represent our people the way they should be represented? Do they have our people's best interests at heart? So the need for black professionals in the music and entertainment industry is absolutely necessary. But the question, and it's one of the questions, and the main question is how many of our people, how many of our artists feel that they have to go to a white lawyer or a white manager or a white accountant in order to be successful?
Yeah, that's a good question. So let me move on because we're going to come back to that, Brother Colin. So Sister Akila, I think when we talk about this is a show, we usually talk about justice issues. We talk about our rights to stand up. So that puts you out there, to me, in the role sometimes of the protector of the people's rights, their minds, their moral upliftment, and that's what I see you do. So can you talk to us about your quest and your decisions to take some of the stances you take, the originality, your boldness, you know, your voice? Talk to us about that, you know, because you're such a brilliant artist.
Praise be to Allah. You know, one of my favorite artists is Bob Marley. And Bob Marley, he was a Rastafari. And all within the Rastafari religion or way of life, you know, they fight for righteousness. And clearly in the Nation of Islam, this is what we do. We are activists naturally. Once you join, you're automatically an activist because we're always at the forefront of getting justice for our people. So me being someone raised in that type of environment and loving artists like Bob Marley, Nina Simone, Lauryn Hill, all these black people who not only do music, but also were on the front lines for civil rights movements and any movement that required us to stand up for black people. So those are my favorite artists. And for me, it really is just me as a person. And I think our artistry it should just be an extension of ourselves. You know, it should be, you know, a lot of the people who we see today are not really being themselves. You know, they might promote drinking on stage, but they don't even drink. You know, they promote, there's a song called I'm in Love with the Coco, talking about cocaine. And I'm 100% sure that brother doesn't smoke cocaine. He's very healthy. He always keeps himself on point. So, you know, we're basically seeing a lot of artists not being authentic. And I'm just me. And that activism and that boldness is a part of me, my personality. And so it shines through my music. And I just want people to be themselves. You know, one of my favorite artists right now, his name is Toby Nwigwe, and he's actually from Houston. And I've met him before. We're in the same city. And that's something that he talks about too, authenticity, you know, being yourself, you know, and showing the world that you can rise to popularity and success by being yourself. Like, that's his whole campaign. And so what I started to do is I took on some of his tactics, which one of his tactics was to do a freestyle every Sunday. And so it was called Get Twisted Sundays. His wife would be twisting his hair and he would be doing a freestyle. And he did this every Sunday. He said that his plan was to do it for every Sunday for years until he, you know, got popular. But truthfully, it only took him a few months before he started to blow up just by the consistency. And I can bear witness. So I decided to do the same thing. And I put the camera in my living room, again, being myself, authenticity. And my husband is, you know, in the background, like, as I'm doing my music. And I'll even set up a little camera on the side, and you'll be able to see my daughter dance. And she's 2 years old, and she's dancing below us. And so, you know, it's just about being yourself and being authentic and showing the world that normal everyday people are gods, you know, and the people who are being shown to us, a lot of them, they, you know, they're all powerful because they got to where they are. They had to hustle to get to where they are. They had to have strong minds. But are they truly being themselves? And if they feel that they are being themselves, are they putting out a message that is good for the people, or is it toxic for the people? And so that's basically a little background as to how or why my music is bold and my messages are bold and my visuals are bold. My recent music video, I wore a headpiece, I wore a head wrap, and it's because it's who I am, you know. So a lot of people are afraid to show who they are because they feel that if they show who they are, they're going to be judged. But if it's you and if you love yourself, then I say you should be that.
Wow, that's beautiful. Because listening to you, you're talking about freedom. That's one of the things, mm-hmm. freedom. These are our rights. You have freedom of speech, and this country tries to sometimes just constrict people from exercising their freedom. Brother Colin and I, remember we were talking about the Parliament Funkadelic when they said, you know, here's my chance to dance my way out of my constrictions because – you know, we have to, as Sister Akila is saying, the God, you know, you're modeling God. So I want to ask you, Brother Colin, from a legal perspective, and then I would like to encourage anyone who's listening to please, if you have a question or a comment, press 1 to get into the host queue. And so, Brother Colin, listening to what she described, I know you were talking about some legal issues that may sometimes restrict you know, artists and entertainers from exercising who they really want to be and saying what they really want to say. Did you, you know, and how you as an attorney have, you know, worked to kind of look for those things? This, again, is just importance of having Black attorneys and those who care the community as your attorney and influencers.
Right. You know, it's very hard for an artist to tell a label, you know, what they're going to put on the album. Like the label asks for songs, they give the artist, they work with the artist for a direction of the album, and then the label decides what goes on the album. So if the artist gives up 15 songs and the label says we're going to pick these 12, it's normally the label that is picking the 12. Now, if you Beyonce, you Jay-Z, you Kanye, you picking the 12. You make that decision. But for new artists, for inspiring young you know, aspiring artists who are looking to break in, you normally don't make that call in a typical transaction process. Because once you sign that contract, you really become property of the label, right? Mm. And last week's show talked about property and how Black people are seen in the Dred Scott case, and it talked about there's no rights that a Black person has that has to be respected by a white person, right? And so once you sign that contract, you become property. You have to now deliver certain works to the label, and let's say 3 contracts, 12 songs, before you can break out of that contract, before you have to make X amount of money, recoupment money back before you could come out the contract, and it's still so. But some of those contracts used to be 12, 15 years, and you couldn't break out of it. So you became enslaved to that label, right? Today it is different. Today it is different because of social media, right? Because of YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, because of these things, Sister Akila and other young artists could come out there and do their own thing. And as she says, blow up in a few months. And once you can do that, once you can gather a following on social media, then you can basically have people come to you instead of you going to them, and then you can call the shots now on what you want to do creatively. You know, and so that takes the subject somewhere else, but Sister brought that up. And Sister, I just want to say one thing that's very important. In the opening, you talked about what the subject matter is. We talked about the music business or entertainment business, right, and the business of entertainment. We have to understand those are two separate things. Somebody can say, I know the music business or I know the entertainment business, and they don't know the business of musical entertainment. We have to recognize those are two separate things. So it's very important that you get a full knowledge of the business that you're in, the music business and so forth, and also now the business of that topic, because that's what makes the things move, makes the decisions go. As an artist, Sister Akilah can understand the music business. Well, I can take a song, I can go out there and do a freestyle, I can use this beat, I can use that beat. But then does she understand she may not get royalties for that? If she uses somebody else's beat, and they now say, you know what, you didn't clear that sample, we're going to take all of your publishing. Or she may not know, open up a publishing company because she can get paid every time it streams on YouTube or something. There's two separate things going on at the same time that often artists are not aware of. And they're at the mercy now of the label or production company they signed to, or the ignorance of their lawyer, who may not know to tell them what to look for.
Yes, sir. That's beautiful. And, you know, it just kind of reminds me of Ma Rainey. I think that was the play that was done. And she was an excellent businesswoman. Like, before, she would go in and put anything down, any kind of music, go into the studio. She wanted to get paid. So, you know, this is a beautiful conversation. I'm going to take a couple of callers, if y'all don't mind. I got first caller. I have a young sister. Sister Nyla. Sister Nyla. Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. Yep. Thank you for calling. You have a question or a comment?
I actually have both. I'm actually driving right now, so I apologize for the background noise. But just hearing what you guys are saying, I know one thing Akilah mentioned is how these artists are definitely portraying lives that they don't live. Because I think about Future and how every day in his songs he's talking about he's trapping, he's out doing these things, but this man is getting facials, he's vegan, he drinks cucumber water. So at what point do you have time to do these things, but you're convincing the children who live in these dangerous or these impoverished lifestyles, and they see this every day. So they think my favorite person is doing it, so it must be what I need to do. And so, you know, children don't know how to chew the meat and spit out the bones. So at what point are you going to stand up for these children that you know are listening to you? Because it's not, once you get to a certain age, you don't listen to that music every day. I'm just 24, and most of the time I'm playing music soul child. I have a few Future songs, but it's not something that I believe in listening to every day. So it's like you are only influencing the people that are still young enough to go out here and feel like they want to do this. But I also had a question for Akilah, because I know you mentioned that artists are just, you know, everyday people. And I personally feel like that is very true. And in today's time, they are, I don't want to say too much like everyday people, but I remember the time where artists had to have artist development in order to, you know, be able to present themselves a certain way. Like, we thought Beyonce was godly, and she is from Houston with a Louisiana mama. I'm pretty sure she has, you know, everyday problems just like us. Just did not know. So I know, you know, you as an artist, you're an everyday person, but your everyday self just happens to be a righteous Muslim. So it's a lot easier to portray your virtue and, you know, your knowledge as opposed to somebody that again comes from that poverty lifestyle and this is what they know. And so they're pushing it for the money because they're trying to come out of that. So what do you think about that in terms of, like, the everyday artist?
That was a great question. I agree. There's a lot that is going on today, a lot of back and forth drama. There's, you know, recent drama that happened with the baby and his baby mama, Danny Lee. I think that's how you pronounce her name. But what happened is they got on live and they were arguing, and, you know, he kicked her out of his house on live. And mind you, both of these people are artists. Both of these people have hit records. Both of these people, I'm pretty sure the baby got awards and whatnot, performed at the BET Awards show. You know, these are actual celebrities. And they are literally fighting with a three-month-old baby in the hands. And it's like, like she said, you might be a little too much like everyday people. Because you know, there has to be a point where once you get a platform, that type of stuff that happens because it happens, but that type of stuff that happens, you don't want your fans, you don't want the people who look up to you to see that type of foolishness. Yeah, you want them to know that you are a regular person and that's what you put in your music, perhaps. You know, you if you know, if you have any relationship problems, put it in the music, like what Summer Walker did with her situation. And her situation was also on the internet as well, though. But she, you know, she put it in the music. So, yes, I do believe that really it's just a reflection of the savagery, you know, the savage condition of this, of the people on the planet right now, and the mindset of the people. You know, we're taught about a collective consciousness or a collective mindset, you know, it's 100% dissatisfaction, you know.
Yes,
you know, 100% dissatisfaction brings about 100%, you know, change. And so clearly we are on the brink of 100% change because people are getting more and more savage every day. There just was a performer the other day who urinated on one of her fans on stage in front of everybody. And that footage is going around. And so look at the savagery of the artist, you know. There was a point in time where if someone had did that, they would get locked up on the spot and be labeled insane, you know. But I guess she did that and the crowd must have cheered. So we see the type of society we're in right now, and this is really why these artists are getting away with this type of behavior, is because reality shows set us up for it, and all this drama. It reminds me of when the minister said that we are like swine, you know, and
right.
We're eating up. We're just eating up all the filth, and so we see that with the artists today. So thank you for the question.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And that's my daughter. I want to say part of the inspiration for the show comes from you. Thank you, Nyla, for calling in, sis. Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, and you know what? It goes to, and we're going to take the other callers that we have, but there was a topic that you all discussed at Dr. Boyce Watkins' convention, and it was called the corporatized weaponization of hip-hop. And I think that's really at the root of some of what you all were talking about. But let's go ahead and take these callers, and we can come back to that, the corporatized weaponization of hip-hop. Yes, Brother Charles Muhammad has a comment. Assalamu alaikum.
Hey, wa alaikum salam, my family. Well, can y'all hear me pretty good?
Yes, sir. We hear you very well, sir. Thank you for calling.
Yes. Peace to Sister Akilah. Sister Tiffany and her brother Colin and the host, Miss Pamela, peace to all of y'all, man. But I just wanted to say a few things, man. I appreciate rappers like the sister right here, Sister Akilah, especially being from Texas where I'm from. I know she gets up close and personal with her business because she helped me get my bean soup right. So I know if she took the time out to do that, She gonna take the time out to teach some of these little young sisters and brothers something out here. But the meat of what I'm trying to say is that rap music is, I mean, what they playing on the radio today, that's not rap music. That's trap music. That's sexual art. That's sex music. And that's that's sexual music. If you listen to that stuff for a good Saturday night for about 4 or 5 hours, man, I promise you, at the end of that night, you're gonna be hotter than it messes with your sex drive. It had you driving the streets, motivated to do things that, you know, that the rappers couldn't even do it, you know, as much as they say they do it, like the sex part, you know. I understand sisters are black sisters, and they're gonna dance and they're gonna shake and they're gonna move. You know, that's women, that's sisters. They've been doing it in Africa for years and in America, but certain things that the rap doing nowadays, man, it's these rappers on their way to jail. And most of your young rappers, that your young children, if you're a mother or a father, you don't even want your child involved in that kind of stuff, man, because you feel like they're on their way to jail. Because the rap, if you're not selling crack at the corner store, or if you're not, you know, pimping or something like that, if you ain't putting that in your rap, man, you're not going to play on the radio. You're just going to be struggling and striving, trying to teach the people. And I don't think that we all should just hear rap that teaches us and preaches to us all the time. You know, some of it should be entertaining. Some of it should be a little bit about the swag, you know.
Yes,
but I just think that I appreciate the rappers like her, man. I've been in Texas, man. Okay. We were B-boys. I know I'm talking a lot, but we was B-boys for a long time out here.
Yes, sir.
And,
yes, sir. Well, thank you.
You,
yes,
man.
Sir. Thank you.
Thank you for cutting me off.
No. I'm just saying I'm going to go, but we appreciate what you're saying. We from Texas, too, so we understand that independent rap label here in Houston and the state of Texas. So we hear you, brother, what you're saying. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Brother Charles. Well, thanks for calling in, and we're going to move on to the next caller, too.
Got you. Have a
all
good
right,
one, my
all
son.
Right. All right, yes, sir. No, did you have something else you wanted to say?
No, I was just going to say one more thing, that we've been we've been B-boys down here in Texas, man. We was wearing Adidas and all that back in the day, so we're not unconscious down here. We are conscious.
All right.
But the Southern rap is what's kind of messing the rap industry up. That's it.
All right. That's a great point. So thank you so much, Brother Charles.
Yes,
sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, and thank you for the compliment.
So we have another caller. We have Brother Warren, Brother Attorney Warren Muhammad. He's on the line. He's another entertainment attorney. Brother Warren, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. Thank you for calling, Brother Warren. Fine, by Allah's grace. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, by Allah's grace. I just wanted to make a brief comment, add on to what's already been said, you know, by Sister Keela and Sister Tiffany and my brother Colin. And Brother Colin was hitting something right on the head when he was talking about being signed to the record labels and the ownership that by the labels that comes along with that recording contract. And I just wanted to encourage you all and the listening audience to listen to, you can go on YouTube and pull up Drink Champs interview with Kanye West and really listen to what Kanye is saying. He says a lot. It's part one and part two, and I think each part was like 2 hours long. But he starts talking, he didn't go into great detail, but he mentioned names like Vivendi, and he was not competing with the other local artists. He was competing with Vivendi and getting out of his contract. Well, Vivendi is a Paris-based company that owns Universal, one of the largest entertainment conglomerates in the world. And just do the research and look and see who's behind these labels. The families, all of these major labels are foreign-owned by large conglomerates and families that ultimately dictate the course of the music and the type of contracts and content that comes down. So I just wanted to put that little piece in there that Kanye really, really exposes a lot and goes into detail quite a bit on this corporate control and corporatization of music and hip hop.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for that, Brother Warren. Yes, ma'am, go right ahead.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to ask Brother Warren something, if that's okay.
No, go right ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Brother Warren, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, Alex Long from Tiffany.
Awesome, awesome to hear your voice. I just wanted to make mention, Attorney Brother Warren. He was my introduction when I was a law student in Houston, Texas. Brother Warren was obviously in the mosque, and he had me under his wing, and he was definitely doing the entertainment. I think he had just come out of Destiny Child. He represented a member, and he was able to get that done, and I think I helped him with another suit. It was something with Master P of some sort, so I just wanted to thank Brother Warren.
Right.
And, of course, you too, Sister Pamela, you helped me too. And Brother Warren, it's good to hear your voice, and you're always, always so valuable, and I'm going to listen to that YouTube. Is there you recommend I listen to both parts, or what would you – seem like it's a little lengthy.
Yeah, listen to both parts. It gets kind of wild because they're all sitting up drinking. You don't know if you're familiar with what drink camps do, but the interview is worth listening to. The interview is really worth listening to. Both, I'd recommend listening to part one and part two.
Got it. Thank you, sir. And also
yes,
what Brother Collins said about know the difference. His family, Brother Collins mentioned entertainment. When you hear music, entertainment, but I remember Brother Warren, one of the first reads he recommended, Brother Warren, correct me if I'm wrong, was a book, was it Everything You Need to Know About the Business of Music? He had their stuff.
Yes, ma'am.
But, it's so on point. Yes, sir. Thank you again.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Warren. So did anyone want to comment on anything that's been said? Any comments? Because as I'm thinking now, one of the things about the trends, and as Sister Akila is saying, now we're in a trend where the reality TV show and the savagery has just reached, dissatisfaction at 100%. And so some of the topics that I've seen Sister Akila address have been things such as the vaccine, the cancel culture. She actually did something where she talked about Biden, just the whole point about you got time today, ain't the time to sway. Right. We don't think the same. Uplifting black women, real artists, she mentions in there. So, see, these are the trends for today that artists such as herself are standing up for. And I know, Sister Tiffany, you wanted to tell us something about how the ability to be free and to distribute independent. We were talking about that earlier. Did you want to that out there?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I wanted to let Sister Keela know, of course, how much I enjoy her music. I listened to it all last night and this morning. It's so refreshing.
Praise
yes,
me to Allah.
So
that keeps
Please
me going.
Continue. Yes, we need it. We need it. Sister Pam and I, we were discussing sort of on the distribution side, more or less, not just music, but I guess the business part, but with entertainment, period. So with the innovation of this digitalization that Brother Colin mentioned, that we know with the innovation of the Internet, everything opened up. Those like Brother Attorney Warren, mm-hmm. Brother Colin, those, and Sister Pam, who were actively very involved with entertainment in the 90s, they know, they saw it before their eyes, I'm sure, because at one point there was, a big corporation standing between you and the success.
That's right.
And now we have the invention of social media. So I just wanted to just share a little bit on topic so the listeners, of course, Sister Akila lived it, and she's doing it daily, but just the whole social media influencer. So you have various attorneys, different consultants helping artists and just guiding them. And there's books out there just to have the more information and resources one has, you can understand it, and therefore it's a business. You can do better. So just by the numbers, there's over 95,000 photos and videos that's taken every day on Instagram. So that's just by the numbers. And Black Americans. Sister Pam, can you hear my prayer clock in the back, or is it okay?
We're good. Yes, ma'am.
You can hear me okay? Okay, great.
Yes,
so
ma'am. Very good.
I was saying there's
just for a little stat so we can get this, understand social media influencers and the power that you have. So black Americans spend roughly about 19 hours weekly on smartphone apps and the internet, more than any other cultural group. Of course, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, mobile apps are the highest among black American users, adults, that is. So out of the 67 million users, 19 million are African American. That's roughly 28%. So what's an influencer? You know, we got so many different forms and, you know, different styles. So an influencer, by definition, it's where marketing is the focus of your marketing efforts around the individual that has great impact on the decisions, opinions, and potential customers rather than targeting a general audience. Does not mean that you have like a large social media following, because sometimes you can have very successful persons, influencers, and they don't have the tens of millions, but they are raking in money. So I just wanted to kind of go over that just so maybe if any of the listeners are interested in that type of thing, because like we're saying, the innovation and digitalization with the internet comes a lot of opportunity. So the top industries that partner with influencers generally are fashion, accessories, beauty, cosmetics, food, beverage. You see them all the time. So companies and brands, they spend at least $1 billion on them. Well, they spent $1 billion 2017 on these influencers. So things like they have agreements that are attached once that you have the numbers and the following, there are agreements that you will have to sign. So this is where you might want to get counsel or at least run it by somebody who has a business mind. There, in the influencer agreement, there's a deliverable. So influencer agreement, it should always contain as many details as possible about the deliverables and posts. And does influencers' post need to be in the form of a video, a photo? You have to know the requirements so you can make sure you get your, you know, the approvals. And the last part is to pay them just the compensation. Because some people, you know, spend a lot of hours consuming and don't really know that there is potential money that could be made. So, like, sample rates, for example, in 2017, on an average, like a thumbnail estimate, calculating $100 per 10,000 followers, right? So, sample one, like, if you had 18,000 followers, 3 to 5% engagement is usually required, $280. So, on the other hand, if you got almost 100,000 followers, 3 to 5% engagement rate for IG posts, you can earn $1,200 from one of those corporations. So that was just what I wanted to share. Just, again, the innovation in technology. We're talking about entertainment. We have so many talented believers doing all kinds of stuff, from the conscious rap. I'm talking gardening, working out. It's just opportunity. So for me and, you know, us here at this time for justice, we see everything like, you know, law and business. That's just how we think, but and, you know, how we've been trained to think. So, you know, just look out for those influencer agreements and know about the deliverables and, you know, the potential compensation. And if you don't know, you have a source. That's all, Sister Pam.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you. Because like you say, the difference in the times, because it reminds me of back in the early 90s, I want to say it was around 97, when Prince, the artist formerly known as Prince, had, you know, walked away or had the dispute with his label and was walking away, and I was at an entertainment conference out in L.A., and those moguls, they felt like his career was over because they were going to hold fast, and it's kind of like, you know, if you don't hire him, we won't. But and it was so interesting to see how we know that that brother had a comeback and he exceeded all expectations and just went through the ceiling because he was able to use this digitalization and the new trend. So, you know, this is where we are, and we got to seize the moment. So, you know, we're really moving. This conversation is great. I know Sister Akilah was able to go to the Black the conference that was given by the brother Boyce Watkins, because it seems like hip-hop, the current state of hip-hop, is a Black agenda item. And so that's where they talked about the corporatized weaponization of hip-hop. So, Sister Keela, I was wondering if you could give us some words
on that and some of what you felt like you want to bring back, anything you said, anything you heard that you can share with the audience regarding that conference.
Well, one of the people that was on the panel was a sister. She went by the name of Madam Prez, like Madam President. And a lot of the things that she talked about, I mean, she sounded like a student minister, but she was basically, asking, when did it become cool or profitable to be, as women, to be considered a whore, when did it become profitable and cool to be, basically we were talking about the stripper culture and, all these things that we actually did not used to look up to. It used to be shunned, but now it's, they're trying to make it where they're, I might have made up a word, corporizing these type of images. And so we talked about that. We talked about this brother, another brother that was on the panel. He's a rapper named D1, and he's gotten, many awards. He's performed at the BET Awards. He's, he was on a major label with Lil Wayne. He was signed to the same label with Lil Wayne and basically like a lot of his favorite artists. And so he turned that label down once he was on it. He decided to leave because he said he didn't want to be associated with the type of I guess you could say the lyrics and imagery and whatnot. He is considered a Christian rapper, but in truth, like, his music is not I guess you could say it's just good music, you can't really put him in a box. And he told the story about the man that I talked about earlier, the guy, his name is OG Genesis, I believe, or OT Genesis. And he's the one who made the song I'm in Love with the Coco, which is cocaine. And he said, D1 said that he was in the office, in the corporate office, and he could hear, he was with the person making the phone calls to get that song played on the radio, different, radio stations and however they, do it for the labels. And basically he was explaining to the different companies how good the song is and how, it's going to be, on the top of the charts, blah, blah, blah. So he would call people back to back to get the song spread. And he said that the person hung up the phone. When they hung up the phone, he said, I hate that song. And he said, but I have to, this comes with the job. And so they actually, he basically told that story about how they're hypocrites, in the industry and the label and all of the business behind it is very hypocritical, because you got these people pushing stuff that they wouldn't even let their children listen to. Going back to one time, Cardi B, she had she was playing her song WAP in her living room or somewhere in the house, and she was playing it, she was singing to it, dancing to it, and then her daughter walked in and she ran to turn it off. And so, it shows you that these artists, they don't even want their children listening to the stuff that they're saying, because, under the guise that they say, well, this is just for adults and, y'all should control your children. We're not role models. So we talked about that issue, about how they say that they're not role models and how that's a red flag. You should never, people who are on that's the platforms and they say that, they're not a role model, that's a problem, because, yes, you're in the limelight. You are automatically a role model. And so that's what, that's what models are. They're on the runway because they're being seen. And so that's what they are, your actual models. So, we talked a lot about, what is dangerous, who do we think the most dangerous hip hop artists are?
And a lot of us, instead of calling out names, we basically, one of the things that I said is that, you know, and what also our brother D1 said is that anyone who, you know, we said anyone who's not being themselves authentically and anyone pushing a culture that's toxic to the community. And
that's right.
Anyone who has the ear, power, and influence over the youth, you know. So at the end of the day, that could be a two-way sword. It could be dangerous on one end, you know, on a toxic level, but it could also be dangerous in a good way, which would be dangerous for our enemy. Because if you have the ear of the youth and you're actually putting some good information in their ear like Kanye did, because I did watch the interview. I watched part one and part two of the Kanye interview on Drink Champs. And he's one of my favorite artists, not just because his music is good, but it's because he is building an empire, you know, and he's encouraging everyone else to buy land and to become independent and to be a free thinker. And so one of the things that I pulled from his interview was to be a free thinker and to not let anyone tell you how you should think. He even went so far to say he doesn't have a house because he doesn't like how the construct of the society, how it tells you you have to have a house in order to be normal. And so he said, basically he said that this entire planet is his home, you know, which is what we believe, and how you can travel anywhere and you should be able to make relationships with people, and you should be able to go anywhere and to be able to live and thrive anywhere you desire. And so he said, home is when my daughter FaceTimes me. So, you know, Kanye is very, very, very outside of the box thinking, because there is no box. And so that's what we all really need to realize, is that there is no box. So at the conference, we had a really good time, and it was a room full of people who understood what we were talking about, and it was a room full of black people who got what we were saying. And one of the biggest things we told them is to stop, you know, the children listen to this type of music because you listen to it, you know. And so, you know, if you constantly saying, well, they shouldn't be listening to it, but you listening to it, then, I mean, what do you expect the youth to do, you know?
That's right. So. Do as I say, not as I do, that concept.
Right.
Remember that, y'all, growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's beautiful. And so, Brother Colin, I want to pull you in, but I want to throw out some legal subjects just so we kind of cover some of the bases. I mean, when you look at the business of music, or I think you made it very beautiful, like the distinction between I know how to do music and I know that business. I'm a performer, I'm an artist, I'm a creative. But then the other side is that you want to make sure that you've got the contract, the person who knows that, the person who says this is the strategy, this is how we're going to target the market. So we got, like, the singer, we got the songwriter, we got the musicians, we got activists with voices, we got rappers, we got hip-hop music, we got dance. I know for sure, agents and managers. We've got contracts. We've got exclusivities in contracts, and then costs and how they can sometimes be recoupable. And I think those are things that I've seen. And as well as the fact that we want to raise up those artists and sports figures who are, like Sister Akilah, exercising their free speech. They're exercising their freedom over their body. People such as Kyrie Irving, who is standing up and saying no to, you know, the vaccine, and using his star power, or sitting in his star power, to show others. Because when you said, Sister Akilah, there's no accountability with some of these people pushing all this negative agenda to kill our people and to become whores and all of that, you know, that's something that we've got to get past. You know, time is dictating that we need more responsibility. So how do we get that to happen from your vantage point, Brother Colin, if you have some advice to young artists or what you see with this industry, please chime in. You as well, Sister Tiffany, and, of course, Sister Akilah. What are you doing? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, yes, sir. So, you know, that's a loaded question, right? So many things to unpack there. But I would say, you know, Sister said she went to the conference and Brother said that he hates that song, you know, and but he has to do what he has to do. That to me is a cop-out, right? That to me is a slave. Right? We could be a slave to money. We could be a slave
that's
to fame. We could be a slave to many things, right? But unless you have some form of principle, some form of integrity, where you say there's a line that I'm not going to cross. You know, as a black man, as a black woman, I'm not going to cross it just to sell a record, just to get a view. See, and if you look at, like, the biggest drug today is social media, right? That's the biggest drug today. And now that you monetize it, and people can make money off of being on social media, it makes, you got a whole bunch of like social media crackheads running around here now, where they're just pushing the envelope, pushing the envelope, pushing the envelope, seeing what they could get away with to get more views and more money. Because the more views you get, the more subscribers you get, the more money you make, right? But what they don't realize is the flip side to that. With social media, you have your freedom. You know, we went to a meeting one day, me and my business partner, with the head of a record label. And he said, we asked the question, well, how can you turn the artist into a star today? He said, there's three ways of doing it. One, they either come from a TV show, a popular TV show, like how Drake came from a TV show, so they already have a built-in audience. Two, they could be co-signed by another artist, meaning like, you know, when Ja Rule did Can I Get a What, you know, he was featured on the Jay-Z record, even though that record was for him, but he was featured on a hit artist record. Or third, you create your own buzz on social media. You put your original songs or you do cover songs to somebody and you get a million followers and a million people hitting it. Then you now can go to a label or a label could come to you or a distributor could come to you and you now can set the terms of your career. You don't need somebody dictating to you how you can go about doing this. A lot of these artists who are putting out filth and all the funk out there, all these artists have millions of followers. They're not doing it because they're forced to do it now. They're doing it because they want to do it now because they are addicted to the attention. They're addicted to the views. They're addicted to the likes and the subscribers and the money that comes with it. And so it's important that we understand the most dangerous rapper is the one that's most principled and has the most integrity, who won't sell out for a dollar. Because they know when you have somebody like that, you have a free-thinking man and woman. And that's what they don't want. And that's what they don't push to our community.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So, Tiffany, did you want to add into that? Or, you have anything you want to say? Because it reminds me of Brother Jasiri X, another of our artists, when he did the Just a Minstrel and the caricatures that were part of, you know, the Jim Crow, the whole caricatures. So you put these images out, you're influencing the people to act like these images, you're showing the world, you know, this negative propaganda. It's really like many of the news articles, you know, but it's our people sometimes participating in that. So I love what you say, Brother Colin, that they do have choices, and we have to, acknowledge that. So I just love what you said. Yeah, Brother Warren, I don't know if you had anything you wanted to add in as well. Sister Tiffany, Sister Akilah.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I just thought Brother Colin made an excellent observation is that,
yeah,
you know, we're living in a time now when we can't blame it all on the white man or blame it all on the corporations. We have to take some responsibility for who we are and what we do and what we allow others to make us do. So I just thought Brother Colin made a outstanding, necessary to be a slave anymore. We have the social media, the internet has opened the channels to allow us to be independent and be able to have self-control.
but it's what do we choose to do. So I want to commend Brother Collin for that observation he made.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, and really, yeah. Before we go ahead, Sister Keela. Yes, ma'am.
Just Sister Tiffany.
No, that was Sister Tiffany.
I was also agree. You know, of course, Brother Collin, Brother Warren covered it, but I was curious as to actually, I heard Minister. It reminds me of listening to Minister Noor. He was talking about the entertainers, and he was saying he mentioned Nicki Minaj because that was just the time period. She was, you know, really hot. But he was saying it's like a ventriloquist, right? Dummy, the entertainer. That, you know, it's a hand up your back if you're speaking of the label. Now, of course, Brother Collin, he called it as it is. This is, you know, it's the time of the enlightenment. You know, come on. We are not victims. We have free choice. But we obviously recognize, have to recognize, and we know us. Being conscious and woke in the Nation of Islam in regards to the labels, you know, how the format, you know, it's plantation. But I was looking, thinking about today, I saw a post, you may have saw it as well, any of you, it was a rapper, and he was going through the decades, and he was doing a little rap in 1980, it stated, and he promoted, the rapper was, you know, rapping, and it said promoting anti-drug use. 1990, rap, and he was rapping, and he was, it stated, rappers sold drugs to get by. And then 2000, the same guy rapping, and it's titled, rappers promoted selling drugs as being cool. And then 2010, rappers promote drug use. So, of course, it was like, you know, today's rapper with all the slow vibes, and, you know, but it was really accurate. But again, we cannot be victims. That's why Sister Keela so valuable in the convention that she attended. I can't wait to I got to find out how to listen to it, because it's just so important that we understand that we have the power. I mean, I do a lot. My thing is like sports, like the business of sports. I study more so than music. But if you just to know that, you know, almost 80%. The athletes, you know, in the NFL, they are black, right? Obviously, the 32 team club owners, you don't have any white. And then, you know, you got the NBA. But we are not victims. We have, I heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan state, I think he was in Los Angeles in the 90s, but he said, I'm talking to you, Hollywood. This is not a quote, but something to the degree. He said that you are our black natural resources, speaking of black entertainers and athletes, because we don't have the oil and the gold. We don't own the land here necessarily, but we are the, you know, if you look at the U.S. Entertainment in general, entertainment and media, the market is worth $720 billion, you know?
Jeez.
The retail industry
is
the largest employer but after that, it's film and TV, right? So it's like, well, we know we have what others in other nations don't have, right? Because U.S. and the culture here is, you know, the number one. And, you know, other countries may have more consumers, but the culture, they copy and they export our culture in entertainment, film, media. So essentially, we cannot no longer be the victim. We have to use the power, and we have to do better. Again, my sister Akila and her kind is the future, are so important, and we must support and promote.
Right.
Sister, can I say one thing? Just one thing? Can I just add one thing?
Go ahead, Brother Collin, please.
When we talk about, and I want to ensure that we say the word victim, quote-unquote victim, correctly, right? As black people here in the Western Hemisphere, we are victims of white supremacy. And we are victims of institutional racism, and that affects our psyche. That affects everything. That it permeates through our whole life, even those of us in the nation, right? When you talk about white superiority and black inferiority, we get the supreme wisdom to fight against that, to let us know the knowledge of self and who is the original man, and that the black man is God, and so forth. And that's to fight a teaching that's been drilled into us for so long, right?
Yes, sir.
So when we talk about, you know, victimization, yes, we are victims, right? But that doesn't mean we have to have the mindset of a victim. right? And the tools today available allow you to break out of that mental, I don't want to call it a paradigm. It's like a vicious cycle of victimization where you just feel that you can't do anything because you feel sorry for yourself. There are tools available today for the wider woke black man and woman to go out there and do for themselves, right? I mean, they've thrown it right there. And some of us, it's not just music now. It's also in, like, one of the brothers I watch all the time is a brother named Big Ja, right? He does these comedy skits, and he has over 1 million followers on YouTube and Instagram. And pretty funny stuff. Now he's getting a chance to go out there, like different production companies are calling him to be in TV shows and so forth. So our children who are creative, our young people that are creative, you have a choice today. You don't have to be a part of the casting couch. You don't have to sell your soul to the devil to be seen and to be known and to showcase your talent. It's wide awake for you. Sister Akilah is in the right time at the right in the right place at the right time, because when we was growing up, there was no internet. You know, so she's at the mercy of the labels, but now she can showcase herself. She can get 1 million followers and then dictate now for those who want to call her and say, sis, we would love to have you do this and that. And she could say, of course I'll do it, but I'm not going to do this and that. So our people don't have to take the turns if they don't want to. And we need to understand that today.
Yes, sir. Beautiful, beautiful. Because the issue is wealth. In one way, it's the wealth and the power of the music to shape the culture. But the wealth is important because this is our natural resource. So we got to corner this wealth. I think what you all are saying about it also being a business, because, you know, you got to learn the business. It's not just a game. You know, try to learn it like it's a business. Also, I think the trust of one another is really opening up where we can have people around each other that we trust and that have our interests at heart, because, you know, they used to isolate us. So we're down to like 15 minutes or so, but any of those topics we want to touch on, this is about music. So I also want to talk about who's your favorite performer. You know, we got this list of Aretha Franklin, the queen of soul, who showed us her business savvy. We've got Billie Holiday. We saw these Netflix where they had that sister handcuffed to the bed because she would not do Strange Fruit. Our sister Lauryn Hill, who, you know, Miss Education, she had me leave the building. I was left the classroom. So it's so many artists that we are greatness. And so as we talk about the wealth that can be garnered, and any other topics that the attorneys want to close out on. Sister Akilah, you know, thank you again for all that you do. I mean, because this sister stands strong, y'all. She'll say it. She's saying it. She is bold, and she's attracting the attention. You know, and the one last thing I want to say real quick, and as you all said, these artists sometimes out here selling their souls and just doing anything for money. We who are older, we know that oftentimes that has a tragic ending. It's not promoting longevity, the business, the money. It's going to go as quickly as it comes. So very important that you do good business and business principles. So did anybody want to chime in on any of those points? I think
I just wanted
great
to
conversation.
Say thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I just want to say thank you. And thank all of you all for your encouraging words and whatnot. And it's just time. It's really time for us as people who have knowledge of self to really start shining, because we see how savage this world is and how dark everything is getting. And they say the stars shine brightest in the dark. So we have to see those stars. All of us are stars. You got star attorneys, you know. You know, so all of us are stars in our own right, as long as we stick with the truth, really, and be a light. Because the minister says it, you know, music is universal. So you don't have to be under the label of Muslim or label of Christian or any label for people to feel you in your music. You just have to have truth within you. for the people to feel your spirit, for the people to feel your energy in the music, in the beat, in the cadence of how you rap or how you sing. And so this is just a time where we just have to get out of our, you know, being reserved and to start stepping up. So I'm, you know, getting more out of my, I guess you could say, shell. I'm not shy, but I'm not on social media as much as they recommend, because nowadays as artists, they recommend you post at least like 3 times a day on Instagram, and you know, content is king. And so I have work to do as well to, you know, start putting myself out there more. And even though, of course, I'm a 90s baby, I was actually born in 91, but because of that, I'm really, even though I'm young still, I'm still really not that used to social media. And I think it's because I was raised by a generation that always tells you not to put your business out. And so it always makes you second guess whenever you want to go live, or whenever you want to just make a video about you talking about your thoughts. So it makes you kind of second guess, because we're kind of programmed to be like, you know, why are you putting all your stuff out? Why are you exposing this or exposing, you know? So we just got to get out of that, though, because we're in the age of transparency. And even Will Smith said that. He said he had to undo that mindset of mystery, and because it's no longer mystery anymore for artists and for celebrities and for stars. It's like everybody wants to know your mind. And what better mind than the mind that is striving to follow Allah and his teachings and his, you know, in righteousness. So we have to put that type of mind on display. And I'm just going to continue to try to do that through music. So thank you for having me.
Oh, that's beautiful. And as we're closing out, please tell us how we can get in contact with you, Sister Akila.
I am on all platforms. All of my music is on all the streaming platforms, iTunes, Spotify, Tidal, YouTube. And so you just type my name in on all social media. I am Akila Nehanda, AKILAHNEHANDA, Akila Nehanda on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And before the other attorneys chime in and give their information, we got to remember the master performer who, before he became our leader, teacher, and guide, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he was an entertainer. And he did the White Man's Heaven. Remember that? So, you know, you're talking about boldness and standing up. I remember hearing that song when I first came into the nation, and it was just so just inspiring and so true. Still rings true today. So, again, anyone, as please, Brother Colin, tell us how we can get in contact with you if any of our listeners wants to you know, talk to you to get more advice and more help.
Oh, thank you. I will have a new email account, colinmuhammad@gmail.com. It should be up either tomorrow or Thursday. Anybody wants to get in contact with me, just email me up there.
Yes, sir. So that's colinmuhammad@gmail. And his name is spelled, of course, C-O-L-I-N, muhammad@gmail. Okay, Brother Colin, thank you. And Sister Tiffany, how can we get in contact with you?
Oh, yes, beloved. My email is the simplest way. It's tbmlawgroup@gmail.com. So tbmlawgroup@gmail.com. And I wanted to just thank you, Sister Pamela, for being so consistent with bringing A Time for Justice and such great content for, for our community. And it's so important that I think the legal aspect is considered, and you have such great panelists or persons like the sister on today, the artists, and you always seem to have a common question, the importance of Black lawyers. Ask myself why is it important to have Black lawyers? But I think we kind of addressed it already. But just to say a word, a minute more, Yeah, I think it's obvious, for obvious, you know, reasons, Brother Colin, Attorney Warren, and Sister Pamela did a great job within the last hour just describing, you know, the climate and what we live in, you know, white supremacy 101, you know. So we just definitely would need someone with the same interests, you know, culture, to generate, you know, and help you with your transactions. It's just in your best interest. I mean, again, I always go to sports because that's my thing. But, you know, it's the reason 80% of NFL players, you know, end up broke, you know. It's just how, you know. But it happens too often. And, you know, I know we read a book before, Attorney Pamela and I think Attorney Ava Muhammad recommended An Empire of Their Own. And it's How the Jews Invented Hollywood. But that's a great read,
right.
And it gives you the landscape. Yeah, and it gives you the clear picture of who this is. So, therefore, you can act accordingly. So I just think always having someone with your best interest, has your culture. I mean, Tyler Perry, yeah, he can make a Schindler's List version movie, but it wouldn't quite be the same as Steven Spielberg, correct? So I just think it's important to have those persons with the same interests and same culture. Thank you.
That's right. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Brother Warren, your mic is still open. Did you want to tell us how we could get in contact with you? I know you're in this field as well.
Yes, ma'am. My email is warren@wfmlawfirm.com. warren@wfmlawfirm.com. And I want to commend the guest that you called together. I think it's been outstanding. Talk this evening, Brother Colin, and my little sister Tiffany. I'm so proud of you, Sister Tiffany, and thank a lot. I was able to assist you on your journey in some small way, and the same for Sister Akila. So anyway, I'm kind of the old guy in the group. I've been practicing my 43rd year of law practice now.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Well, and I would like to thank everyone for coming as well, because usually we talk about, you know, the issues such as trials, tears, and an impossible quest for justice in America. This is what we're seeing in the November 23rd, 2021 of the final call, talking about the trials and just the white supremacy. But I wanted today to talk about the power that we have, which is one of the places we see it in arts and entertainment. And it's soothing, and it's fun, and it's very, very powerful. So we have to really talk about using this particular tool to really uplift our community, to raise the consciousness, as Sister Mother Tynetta talked about, and how we know the minister has urged us, as he's, you know, worked with the rappers, and all of them love him, all of the entertainers love him. And so, you know, that's who we got our information from. He raised us with the education and teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So I look forward to the unity, the continued unity. Sister Akila, you know, we're really in your corner, and so many more like you who are out there who are so talented. Well, there's none like you. But you know what I'm saying, someone who's on the battlefield for righteousness and great content. So thank you all for listening to A Time for Justice. You can reach me at pamlegal2000@gmail.com. Please call in to hear previous shows. You can log on to our archive. We would like to thank the Elevated Places team. I would like to thank Sister Samaya Muhammad, who is my helper. And we would also like to thank Sister Minister Dr. Ava Muhammad, who is the head of the Elevated Places Network, and we encourage you all to listen to her show on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and that's Ask Dr. Ava. That's Thursday. I would like to thank you all once again for listening and encourage you all to tune in next week for more informative discussions. As-salamu alaykum.